And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. Got a loaded show for you here today. Lots of Preds and Titans talk to get to, as well as looking ahead at day three of the SEC tournament here at Bridgestone Arena. Teron Davenport from ESPN joins us at 8 o'clock. Terry Crisp at 8:30 to break down the Nashville Predators and their loss last night to the Carolina Hurricanes. Mike Wilson at 9 o'clock from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Tennessee taking on the Florida Gators today in the SEC tournament. And, of course, Call Your Shot Friday coming up at 7:45. So we'll take your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing?
Are you sure you want to ask me that question?
I'm not sure.
You want me to lie to you?
No.
Doing great.
Sounds great.
Awesome.
Both of you look fantastic. Ryan Porth, collared shirt. Joe Rex Road, collared shirt. Robbie Stanley, high school baseball pullover.
Are they the same collared shirt?
They look very similar.
I didn't even notice that till now.
No.
No?
Flowing
no.
hair with each of you.
Okay. Okay.
They're my close. My hair's better than his.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. That's nicely slicked, you know, like.
It's kind of a jerk move to just come out and say it like that, though. Wow.
Hey. You know what?
He's really getting retribution for your hatred for his poll questions.
Well, and he came up with a great one today. He came up with a great one today on his own. Didn't even need help from you like normal.
So, I know. I mean. A great one. Today's poll question, and we're going to get through it to this throughout the show today, but we'll go ahead and toss it out there. At 102.5 The Game on Twitter, which college basketball blue blood are you the happiest to not see or to see not make the tournament this year in the NCAA? Duke or Kentucky? And this is very early in the voting process. Very. But it's 50-50 right now. Duke and Kentucky.
Are we talking about like two votes?
Eight votes. Ten votes
Eight
now.
Eight votes? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
We've just announced it. It's just been put up.
See, there's a lot of BBN around here.
Of course.
There was some BBN in the building yesterday. They made some noise, by the way. They made some noise, and it did not matter because the Wildcats lost to Mississippi State. But there's a lot of BBN around here, but there's a lot of hatred for BBN around here.
Oh, yes.
So I would my instinct would be that Kentucky would win, but you know what? Duke hate is very universal.
It's national hate.
You know, the funny thing about Duke hate is, so here's a story from a Michigan State at Duke game, but Tom Izzo said he was at campus during one of these games, before one of his games at Duke, and he's like, everybody on the Duke campus hates Duke too. Like, all the people who work here hate Duke. Like, Duke is like, it's a bunch of kids from New Jersey and New York who go to Duke. It's an elite private school. And all the people in the state of North Carolina hate Duke.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
They're all North Carolina fans.
But then there's Adam Vingan.
Yeah.
Oh, Adam Vingan.
Local resident Duke fans.
Yeah.
Adam Vingan.
But, like, his dad's, like, friends with Krzyzewski and stuff. Yeah. So, you know.
Doesn't count.
Yeah. We can there's no way Vingan's up right now, so we can just trash him at will.
There's this
right
great now. Video on YouTube that I'll have to show you at some point that I'm sure Vingan's probably showed you of Zion Williamson during his time at Duke, played in like this exhibition game with Duke in Toronto, and
right.
Adam and his father like
they
under the
there.
Basket on a breakaway dunk, and you could just see them both simultaneously like do their fist bump. It's one of the greatest things ever. We'll have to find that. Maybe tweet it out.
I mean, it's one of the big regrets of my life is that 2 years ago I didn't get, because I mean, I think Vingan has injured himself jumping off a couch.
Yes. Rooting
for Duke, that I didn't get Vingan and my then 11-year-old Brennan together for Zion against Michigan State.
Just live stream it.
And of course, Michigan State won that game. Like, I think Vingan would have
probably
punched him.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would have tried to get, I mean, as a good parent, got in the way, but that could have been amazing. We got to do that in the future. But that poll is going to be close.
That poll is going to be very close. We'll keep you updated throughout the show here on the poll question of the day. Which college basketball blue blood, I'm having a lot of difficulty saying that so far today, are you happiest to see not make the NCAA tournament this year, Duke or Kentucky? So we'll keep you updated on that. Joe, a tough night last night for the Nashville Predators, a 5-1 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. They were down 3-0 quickly in the first period. I think Carolina, was it 3 goals on 6 shots to begin the game? I think that was right. 3 goals on 6 shots to begin the game. Got out to a 3-0 lead in the first period and really never looked back from there. 5-1 final. Joe, I'll be honest, like when you look at the lineup that the Predators put out there last night and how young it is and the amount of rookies that were out there. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I said it was going to take pretty much a perfect game to hang in there with Carolina, and the Predators did not play a perfect game. And the final score with the roster that the Predators threw out there against that team, who, by the way, have won 7 games in a row now, not overly surprising to me.
Yeah, full disclosure, I didn't watch 1 second of this game. It was the first time this year. I was covering the SEC tournament, and then this, I was actually going to stream it on the phone, and then it was 3-0. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
this is. And, you know, we talked yesterday about the whole idea of you're banged up, you're young, and maybe you just have this focus, but you play a little bit tighter game, you know, like they did last time out. But at some point also just who you are catches up with you and who you have on the ice, right?
Yes. And that seemed to catch up with the Predators last night against Carolina. And I think some pretty obvious frustration from the Predators on display last night as well, as voiced probably most eloquently by Ryan Johansson in the second intermission of the television broadcast with an interview with Kara Hammer, who does a great job for Fox Sports Tennessee. Johansson pretty visibly frustrated in this interview. Here's what Ryan Johansson had to say in the second intermission last night in the game.
Do you feel like there's been a little bit of bad luck, maybe a few bad bounces that have allowed them to get on the board?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's just frustrating. We want to go out there and get back in this game.
What's the mindset now heading into the third?
Go score 5 goals.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
So a pretty upset Ryan Johansson in the second intermission last night.
The facial expressions make it better.
Yeah, it
too.
Was great. It was great. It was maybe the best part of this season so far.
Yeah.
Just in terms of, look, I hear people all the time on Twitter. They'll literally tweet me and be like, Ryan Johansson just doesn't look like he cares out there. Ryan Johansson has no passion whatsoever. And I'm like, okay, well, yes, he does. I understand that you might want to think that way because he's not playing as well as you want him to and not as productive. But Ryan Johansson, pretty obviously furious in the second intermission last night. And, you know, feel bad for Kara because she's in a tough spot there with the team kind of being what it is right now. But, man, you could tell Johansson not having some media interviews last night.
Yeah. So, yeah, from the Kara perspective, I mean, the seasons like this are tough.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that role. And I think those interviews are tough anyway.
Yeah.
Like, even if things are going well, a lot of times it's like, I mean, I feel like a lot of time, way more than not, whoever gets picked for those interviews is like annoyed to be picked.
Yes.
Right? Because it's like you're trying to, you know, you get the intermission. Actually, who the heck, like, how does that work? Do you know? I don't know how that works. You know, Porth? In terms of the, you know, the, like,
okay, a rotation.
Hey, like, well, like, right. What, like, hey, Johansson, your turn, buddy. You know, like, yeah, it's just a rotation that's set in advance.
In a situation like last night, I don't know. But usually in
someone
like the first
scores a goal.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
You know.
Someone who's been a factor on the score sheet is usually picked for that exact scenario. But when they're down, what was it, 4-0?
Yes.
Or 5-0 after the
it
second
was four.
Goal.
It was 4-0.
It was 4 because they had to go score 5 goals.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it was, you know, he was just the last person in line going back to the locker room, and that was the person they asked. I don't know.
Job hazards.
I mean, he wasn't wrong. That needed to be the mindset heading into the third period.
And they did not score 5 goals.
They did not, and it turns out they needed 6. They got 1, though.
That's true. That's true. Well, they could have gone to overtime with 5.
Well, could have. But eventually needed 6.
Yeah, that was a little glimpse of, you know, of how things are going and how guys are feeling about it. And on Johansson in general, like, I've never thought he doesn't care.
I know.
Never thought that. Thought he's not playing well enough, and last year was very kind of mysterious almost, but, oh, the dude cares.
Yeah, and you could tell, I mean, obviously there should be some frustration boiling over right now. I mean, this team, I think they're kind of looking around and reading the tea leaves and knowing what they are at the moment, and maybe what could be coming here. I mean, you're 11-15-1 on the season. And right now, I mean, your goal differential is minus 26. It's not great. And you're about as injured as you could be right now. By the way, another injury last night for the Predators. Mark Borowiecki leaves the game. So right now on defense, no Ryan Ellis, no Roman Josi, no Dante Favreau due to suspension, no Mark Borowiecki. So that's 4 of your top 5 defensemen that are not there at the moment. That's a tough spot to be in.
It's brutal. Also, you know, like a couple weeks from now, I hope I don't hear someone say, well, if they weren't just so injured, they might be in the playoff picture. You know,
no.
That's not what they are. But it's going to make it – it's probably just going to speed up the race to the bottom here. I mean, how many teams have a worse goal differential than that at this point? Two?
Not many. One of them is the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah. I mean, you can count on them. You can always count on the dead things.
The Ottawa Senators,
by the way, the Red Wings put up a 6 spot last night on Tampa Bay.
They did.
So – the Preds play Tampa Bay tomorrow night after they gave up 6 goals to Detroit.
Angry Tampa Bay. It's always good.
Yeah. And they're raising the banner tomorrow night.
Wow. So Buffalo is, boy, they've really picked it up here. They're minus 27. But yeah. Yeah. And then, so it's
on a tear in Buffalo.
Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa are the team's worst. And Ottawa just, I mean, they are fantastic. Spectacular minus 38. But
they gave up a nice 7 spot to the Edmonton Oilers the other night. It was great.
Nice. Yeah, it's and you know, these obligations too. In a year like this, it's hard to even just do the basic stuff that you have to do. I think it gets annoying for these guys anyway over 82 games.
Sure.
You know that very well, right, at times.
There have been many very annoyed answers that I've asked questions to in press conferences before, for sure.
And in the locker room, sure. Which isn't the case now. There's going to be more interesting interactions to come, because it's like, we can talk about the hockey, but I mean, the fan base thinks one thing: who's getting traded?
Yes,
that's where it is right now. And young players. I mean, watching young players is some solace. Watching Tolvanen develop that's a good thing. That's something for people to hold on to. But there's not a lot beyond that.
There is not a lot, and you can tell some frustration starting to boil over with some veterans on the team. Ryan Johansson, obviously very frustrated in the second intermission last night.
Go score five goals.
Again, not wrong.
The math was accurate.
Which is impressive on the fly.
Angry math.
Better than I could do, probably so. So, look, shout out to Ryan Johansson. I appreciate some honesty in interviews. That was a more entertaining interview than normal. So, good stuff there from Ryan Johansson. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators and ask maybe a difficult question for some Predators fans about the future of Pekka. What could it look like? Should the Predators consider maybe trading him this year if that's a route he wants to take? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? Make sure you're tuning in later in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with the Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter, and we'll have that opportunity coming up for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Right now discussing the Nashville Predators, another tough loss for the Preds last night, 5-1 at the hands of the Carolina Hurricanes. And Joe, as we know, with UC Soros unavailable at the moment, Pekka Rinne starting every game as of late for the Predators. And it didn't really go well for Pekka last night, really. I mean, there wasn't much he could do. The breakdowns in front of him didn't give him much of a shot on most of these goals. Had some bad bounces along the way as well. But Pekka Rinne pulled to begin the third period in that game after Carolina scores the 5th goal. And they brought in Kazmasuo there. And it was just, you're looking, trying to get him rest at any place you can at the moment, with Soros not being there and with Pekka starting every game. Now, the good news is they've not had any back-to-backs this week, so you can kind of space out, and hopefully today could be a nice day of rest for him. But you look at the numbers for Pekka Rinne right now, and I think for the most part this year he's played well. Now, it's not great from a numbers perspective. The save percentage is at .897. The goals against average is at .310. So those numbers are certainly not going to put you in an all-star game or a Hall of Fame or anything like that. But I think given what's happened in front of him many times this year, Rinne has looked better to me than he looked a season ago. The question is, what does the future look like for Pekka Rinne? He's 38 years old. We feel like the team could be heading into a rebuild very soon. Does Pecorine want to come back and be a part of that for another year? Does he still want to play? Does he maybe want to go and be with a contender this year? Because we've had some people float that idea out on Twitter, and that's been a popular question that I've received in the past couple of weeks of, all right, we've talked about Ekholm maybe being traded. We've talked about the trade value for Philip Forsberg. But what about just simply, like, if you're Pecorine and you're kind of reading the room right now, you realize maybe this year could be it for you? Would you be interested in going somewhere else and potentially, you know, being a backup or something, competing for a Stanley Cup? I don't know. I don't know how Pekka would feel about that. Quite frankly, I don't know how the Predators would feel about that. When you think of that scenario that could be on the table, what comes to mind there? Do you think that Pecorine should be interested in going somewhere else, and should the Predators consider trading him if he is?
Well, in the second part, yes, I think they should. I think both sides would like him to be a Predator his entire life, a Nashville Predator his entire life.
Yes.
And his entire career, and retire that way. Man, first of all, in terms of the first question about next year and all that stuff, I mean, to me, this clinches that it's time to retire for him. And maybe he'll say, the heck with that.
I like playing hockey.
When I'm 42, we're going to be back, and let's go. You know, but I mean, to me, you know, obviously he's still very good, so it's not like he's just hanging on by a thread, but he's extended this career to me in part because he wants to win a cup. He wants to have a chance. He wants to be on a team that has a chance. And until, I don't know, some point last season, he was still on teams that you could say that about.
Right.
And then at some point last season, it started to become clear that it was going the wrong way. And, you know, make a try, make some things up, be harder to play against. Let's see how this season looks. Still looks pretty good on paper. Obviously, they're a bad team. I don't know why he would want to be part of the rebuild unless he just really, you know, I mean, I'm sure he loves his job, but I would think this would be it for Pecorine. As far as the trading him, I mean, I wouldn't blame him at all if he looked at an opportunity. What would that look like? What team out there that's a legit contender could really benefit from Pecorine right now?
There's one that comes to mind.
You've got a couple that probably
could. Washington comes to mind. Washington is a team, and not probably as a starter, but he comes to mind as a team. I mean, you were banking on Lundqvist this year coming in, and he's had some health problems and has not been able to come in and play. Maybe Pekka could be a fit there, obviously with Peter Laviolette as a backup. That's the first team that came to mind to me.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs could definitely use a goaltender. Pittsburgh Penguins, their goaltenders have been very Jekyll and Hyde. Yeah. I mean, so is Pecorine to an extent. Right. But, yeah. I mean, Pecorine has a lot more playoff experience than Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith.
Yes. Yes, he does. So, I mean, there are some options out there. I just wonder if you're the Predators, is that something that you are willing to explore? Because I do think, you know, having a guy like Pekka, who has been so important to this team, so important to this city, and certainly that franchise, having him begin his career here and end his career here and not have any stops in between, I think it's a big deal. Like, I think that is a big deal to have, like, your legacy guy that was here the whole time. He's the best player in the history of your franchise. At some point, his number is going to be up in the rafters. I mean, they are going to retire Pecorine's jersey, deservedly so. I think it is cool to give him a chance to be here from start to finish. You just don't see that happen very often in professional sports. But if he approached David Poile before the trade deadline and voiced an interest in doing this and trading and leaving himself open to be traded, if I'm the Predators, given everything he's done for the franchise, I probably would try my best to grant that request. I know it'd be tough, but I mean, if that's what Pekka wanted to do, I think I would be open to it if I were the Predators.
I would hope so. I mean, it's cool. I hear what you're saying, but Joe Namath is what? is a New York Jet. I don't even what he end of the 49ers, whatever. Yep. I mean, that happens a lot in pro sports. And then, frankly, with the Preds where they are right now, if you can bring in some more assets for something like this, then I think you need to think practically about things and not romanticize things. He's still going to have his number retired. He's probably going to, well, I don't know if he'll live here or live in Finland, I guess, right? But why wouldn't you want to also, if you have that kind of feeling for this guy and he was open to this, why would you not want to give him a shot at getting his name on the cup?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great question. And part of the reason I brought this topic up is, like, I was looking with the ESPN announcement that they're bringing hockey back. I was looking through some old Gary Thorne videos the other day because it speaks to my soul. And one of the most popular ones, of course, is Ray Bourque when he goes from Boston to Colorado, wins the cup in Colorado. It's one of the coolest moments really in the history of sports, but especially in the history of hockey and the Stanley Cup. You know, he's in Boston for, what, 20 years? One of the great players of all time in the NHL, and ends his career in Colorado with Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg and all these different players that they have.
Patrick Waugh,
Joe's favorite.
Yeah.
Winning a Stanley Cup. And it's cool. Like, Joe Sakic goes to get the cup, and he doesn't even really lift it. He just, like, kind of picks it up and just hands it to Raymond Bourque. And he's the first guy to lift the cup for the Avalanche. Like, you know, Pekka is not the same level of player as a Ray Bourque. I mean, you're talking about a unanimous Hall of Famer with Ray Bourque. And I think Pekka is close. I'm not sure he's absolutely in the Hockey Hall of Fame. But I did have thoughts about that. Like, it would be cool, I think, if you're a Predators fan, if that's the route he wanted to go, maybe to see him go try to compete for a cup somewhere else as he's closing out the final chapter of his career.
Yeah, first of all, that moment was not cool at all, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. as a Colorado Avalanche of the 90s hater.
It was a great moment.
Yeah. Messier moment was way better. To me, it's almost like evil to, like, think that you wouldn't be okay moving him if he was okay. I mean, the bigger question to me is him.
Yeah.
Like, what would he actually think about this? I mean, it's not like, you know, we're talking about a couple months, go on the road with a team and see what you can do. It's not like some huge life change.
Right.
How important is it to, I mean, like, I don't know.
He does have a new child. And right. I wonder, that's obviously got to factor into this as well. And
sure.
I wonder.
But he's traveling now with the Preds, you know, so I'm obviously, you know, he's probably not doing the 3 a.m. feedings, right? No. So, I think it would be awesome. I'd love to see it, frankly, for him, because I think that a lot of the success of this franchise can be traced directly to him.
Sure.
And I don't know that there's a classier person, you know, in the league, in this town, whatever you want to call it. Like, for him to have a shot at that, I think it'd be awesome, and I hope he is up for it, and it happens, frankly.
I
think it'd be great.
I think it's a really interesting decision that he would have to make, and I'm fascinated to see what his thoughts could be on that front. Fascinated to see what Predators fans' thoughts would be on that as well, and you can let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If Pekka is open to it, should the Predators consider trading him to a contender and maybe giving him one more run at a Stanley Cup? We'll take your thoughts and talk about it next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the Nashville Predators and what the future could look like for goaltender Pekka Rinne. Obviously, the best player in the history of the franchise, probably the most meaningful player in the history of the franchise as well. What does the future look like? Could he come back next season? Or should the Predators, if Pekka is interested in it, maybe see if they could trade him at the end of this season towards the deadline to a contender and give him maybe one last run with an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Kristen on our text line says, let that man do whatever he wants. He's earned it. I think Kristen probably speaks for a lot of Preds fans there when they say, if Pekka wants to do it, it would suck to see him go win somewhere else, but that man has earned an opportunity to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, look, so, we talked yesterday about, like, Porth on The Choice Is Yours, right? That was a question. Like, which player left your team that hurt you? You know, I talked about, like, Kirk Gibson. That was a killer as a Detroit Tigers fan. And still, when he won that for the Dodgers, I was as happy as, like, they had the, not quite, but I hated Eckersley too, right. So that's part of it. But no, it was thrilling. And that was someone in their prime that you still want on your team. I mean, this is a situation where, well, look, we know the reality of where Pecorino is in his career. I can't imagine anyone would have any kind of problem with this because it's not going to change that he's the greatest Nashville Predator, that he's going to hang in the rafters. You know, it's right. Not going to change that at all. It might just be good for him. Why wouldn't you want that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question. And look, maybe he just doesn't want to. That's certainly possible. I think there's a strong possibility that Pekka would just say, no, I'd like to finish my career here. My family's here. You know, got a new son now that I'm trying to raise here. I don't have any interest in going and trying to finish out my career somewhere else. I do think, and he's talked about this multiple times, playing in one jersey for his entire career is very important to him. Now, he was also saying that for the most part when he had an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, and this team was very good, and he was a big part of it. So maybe your mindset changes if you're him. Maybe the idea of going to a contender and having one more crack at it to try to win a cup is appealing. But I do think there's a good chance that maybe he just says, no, that's okay. I'd rather stay here. And if that's the case, find the Predators. Okay, that's what you're doing. I mean, you're not trading him certainly if he doesn't want to go anywhere else. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, the way that Pekka's played this season and given the state of the team, I wouldn't mind if we signed him to a 1 or 2 year deal as a stretch towards Askarov. He looked markedly better than UC for most of the season, and who knows, maybe he's still around for one more shot at the cup after the inevitable rebuild. Now, he's 38. Depends on how long the rebuild would take at that point, but I mean, he does look good out there for the most part. I would not put another year of hockey past Pecorino.
No, but the rebuild's going to be a year?
I don't know. That's it's awfully optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, and when Pecorino said that, by the way, I mean, you know, you are looking at this team, you're looking at your career, and you're not imagining that you would get to a season like this before
right.
You're done. There's no way. There's no way you expected that. So you have to keep that in mind, too. No one expected this. No one expected him to be this bad.
No, I mean, and especially with the contracts, and we talked about it. You know, we did this exercise last week. Like, how have the Predators gotten to this point with the contracts that they've signed, the age of the contracts that they've signed? I mean, Ryan Johansson's 28 years old. Magic Shane's 30 years old. It's not like these guys are ancient out there. So if you're Pekka, you're looking at it, I think, a couple years ago, like, all right, this team's window is still going to be open even after I'm gone. So I'm going to be able to compete for a Stanley Cup for the rest of my career here until I decide it's time to hang it up. And right now, that's just not the case for Pecorino and this team. And it looks like they're trending in the other direction. So maybe your thoughts do change on that front if you're Pecorino. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Aaron texts in and says, I wouldn't just support Pekka going to win with someone else. I'd also buy his new team jersey to thank the team giving him that chance, unless it's the Ducks. Yeah, I don't think Predators fans want to see him going to Anaheim, and Anaheim's not exactly who I would classify
that wouldn't be
as a Stanley Cup contender.
Not much of a candidate anyway.
You don't think so?
I'm guessing
the Ducks are not going
to
be
Pekka's
a part of
like, hey, when I get to 45, I'm going to win it with either the Preds or the Ducks.
Yeah. You know?
That's awesome though. I love that. Actually, I think it's kind of cool. If you like a certain player, you get the player at the various jerseys. My kids got Kirk Cousins jerseys from various teams.
Yeah, I'm not getting a Dwayne Wade Chicago Bulls jersey.
No way.
It's just not
going to
happen. No.
No other jersey but the Heat jersey.
Correct.
Okay. Well, some people don't like it.
Depends on who it is. That was more of a reflection of the Heat handling something poorly.
What if there was a sweet, because I love the Maple Leafs, anyway. Yeah. I love their nice jerseys. Their sweater.
Yeah.
What if you had a Sweet Pecorine Maple Leafs and then he won the cup with them this year?
Hey.
I mean that would probably be a hot item here, right?
Probably so. Porth, what do you think of the idea of Pecorine, maybe if he's interested, going to play for a contender? Is that something that you would entertain if you were the Predators?
For him, yes. I just don't know. I don't think any of us really knows what's going on in Pekka's mind with that. But if I was David Poile and Pecorine came to me and said, hey, I would like a shot at playing on a contender for the rest of the season, assuming that it's probably it for 35,
yeah,
I would do my best to honor that request. As tough as it would be to see 35 in a different uniform, that would be one of those. I mean, it would probably be up there with Eddie George in a Cowboys uniform or Steve McNair in a Ravens uniform of just the oddity for a Nashville sports fan. It would be right there if Pecorine was in Maple Leaf blue. But if that's what Pecorine wants, he's earned that opportunity after everything that he's done for this franchise in the last 13 years.
Well, I to that point, like, I think there are guys that come along very rarely that the organization, like, you do things for them that you wouldn't do for other people. Like, you know, if this is Dan Hamhuis last year saying, you know what, I'd really like to go play for a contender. As good as of a player as he's been throughout his career, probably not a guy that you're bending over backwards to accommodate. You're doing what's in the best interest of your team at that point. Like, I'm not saying, like, you just throw caution to the wind if you're the Predators and do whatever Pecorine tells you to do, but there are guys that come along that are so important to you and so important to – really, I mean, the history of your franchise, but also the future. Like, Pekka, when he's done playing, he's still going to be a part of this team in pretty important ways as they move forward here. Like, I think there are just certain guys that you do this for, and I don't have any difficulty imagining, like, if that's really what Pekka wanted, David Poile not accommodating that request. I think he would.
Okay, well, what about David Poile going to him and saying, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think their relationship is strong enough where it wouldn't be, you know, offensive or anything. Just asking the question, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay here? If you do, that's fine. You can stay here. If you don't, and you would like to go play for a contender to close out your career, we will do our best to accommodate that request. I don't think there's any harm in having that type of a conversation. Because if he doesn't want to, all he's got to do is shut it down, and then you just move on.
Yeah, but to the previous texter's point, I mean, you know, the bridge to Askarov, that's UC Soros.
I don't know that it is.
Or well, more than Pecorine.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, you agree with that?
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, he's not going to be around here for this rebuild.
No. I mean, you're talking, and Askarov, probably at least two, more likely 3 years away. You feel great about him. He has been really impressive from the tape that I've seen of him. And I think, you know, when you talk to scouts about him, they don't use the word can't miss, but it's about as close as you can get with Askarov in terms of what his future could look like in the NHL. So you feel great about that if you're the Predators. You also don't want him, like, thrown into the fire at 20 years old and kind of going through it that way. You let him grow at his own pace, and when he's ready, you bring him over. But you're talking at that point, 2 more years for Pecorine. I don't think that's going to happen.
So why isn't Soros suitable during a rebuild?
Because he's not been very good.
You're not going to be very good.
Well, I understand, but you can't just approach the goaltending position and say, all right, this is what it is. We're going to have a goaltender.
You could do worse. You could do worse than him.
But he is.
He wouldn't be one of your two, you know, him and someone else?
I think this is what's been disappointing about this season is I was really looking forward to seeing what they've got in Connor Ingram. And he has been unavailable for them as of late, away from hockey activities at the moment. And I think at this point, especially like in a situation like this where Soros goes down with an injury, if Ingram was in here, he'd have played by now. Like, he would have started a couple games at this point. And I would have been fascinated to see what they have there. But now you just don't know moving forward.
I think they probably go with one of those veterans that bounces around every couple years, like a James Reimer,
yeah,
comes in and is the 1B and see what UC Saros can do as the 1A, and if he becomes the number one, then great.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like he's one of the two, and it's probably an older guy with him. I mean, again, you're not going to be good, right? not instantly.
Right. I understand. I mean, the question is, like, what are you – I mean, Saros is a restricted free agent. What's the number going to look like, what you're going to pay him?
Not high.
It's not going to be high.
I mean, what you're not
– you're also probably paying for a backup goaltender. Like, he's not a starting goaltender. He's just not. UC Saros is not a starting goaltender in the NHL.
Well, I think
based on everything I've seen thus far, there is zero evidence that he's a starting goaltender.
But is he – I guess again, is he suitable as a in a 1A 1B situation with a journeyman veteran for a rebuilding team for a couple of years?
Could be, yeah.
I mean, why? Like, are you investing in? You know, I mean, obviously, no one's going to come out and say, "Hey, we're going to lose this year, so we don't care who we have out there." No, of course not. You're trying to win still, but I mean, realistically, why are you until you get Askarov to the point where he's ready, why are you going to bend over backwards to, you know, pay someone that position?
It's a good question, but, you can't just put all your eggs in the Askarov basket either. Like, yeah, he's probably going to be the goaltender of the future, but what if he doesn't work out? I mean, you've got to have another option, and I don't know that UC Saros is that option at this point.
No. Well, like you said, Connor Ingram was – there was a lot of momentum for him last year, right? A lot of excitement. We'll see how that goes. I mean, UC Saros is fine.
He's okay. Yeah. He's a good NHL goaltender. He is what he is. To me, that's not good enough to be a starting goaltender. So that's the decision you've got to make. If you're the Predators, are you okay with that? If you are, bring him back, and maybe he can help bridge things along for the next few years. But I've seen nothing at this point to convince me that UC Saros is a starter.
So you'd rather them go get one of those journeymen. And then who's your other goaltender?
I mean, I'm not opposed to bringing him back. I just think that the idea that he's going to be your starter moving forward, to me, is not realistic. Unless he just dramatically improves.
Yeah, well, moving forward, right, moving in limbo.
I'm talking in the next year or 2 years. Yeah. I mean, he's not a starting goaltender.
Eh. Yeah, whatever.
Okay. We'll see how it goes with the Predators on the goaltending front. When we come back, we're going to switch gears, get into a little SEC tournament action. Some tough losses yesterday for a couple of different local teams. We'll discuss it next and look ahead to a big matchup today at Bridgestone Arena as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking back and looking ahead to some action at the SEC tournament at Bridgestone Arena. Joe Rex Road has been at Bridgestone Arena through the first couple of days here of the SEC tournament. And Vanderbilt back in action yesterday. They got a big win Wednesday night against Texas A&M. Taking on Florida yesterday, Joe, in a game that started pretty rough for Vanderbilt, and then they put together a run towards the end, made things very, very interesting against the Gators, but ultimately fall just short against Florida yesterday, losing 69-63. What did you think of the game and Vanderbilt's performance against the Gators yesterday?
Yeah, they almost pulled it off. Pippen, I mean, I tell you what, man. Here's a hot take. You're getting accused of hot takes, right?
I am.
Here's a hot take. I think Vanderbilt fans, if Pippen comes back next year, and that is an if, I would lean toward he will, but it's an if, I think Vanderbilt fans should be more excited about Scottie Pippen Jr. as a junior than they were about Darius Garland as a freshman.
Wow.
There's a hot take. He's not going to be that high of a pick, but dude, that guy is, he's a freak, man. And so he made this on the baseline, you know, diagonal through the defense pass to Trey Thomas, freshman, who lined up for the perfect. And this kid's been red hot shooting the ball. Missed the three. That would have tied it. Maybe sent it to overtime, or I think, you know, actually it would have been a 2-for-1. Florida would have had it with about 35 seconds left. They had a chance. They were down 12. They were looking ugly. They made it. They played a lot better down the stretch. And, you know, it's also 2 years of Scottie Pippen, 2 years of Jerry Stackhouse, 20-37. And I think that there's good signs, but you got to win. You know, there's good signs, but you got to change the bottom lineup. If Pippen and I think Dessou will be back, I mean, he's rehabbing his knee. Those two come back, I think that's a team that should get an NCAA bid next year. And that might be a little bit of a warm take, too. Some people would be like, are you sure? But I like some of the other players who are developing on that team. And those two guys next year, I mean, two of the top. I mean, Pippen should be the best player in the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I don't know, as an NBA player, at that size, that's a limitation. But I think we're going to see him in that league. He is his old man game and variety of moves and everything to go with his shooting and everything else, guy is he is fun to watch. So, Vanderbilt fans, you better hope he's back.
What percentage chance do you give that?
So I wrote this column today in The Athletic, actually, about just that, Ryan Poor. Thank you for asking.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
Yes. There you go. Well, actually, it's funny. I had an interview with Pippen a few weeks ago for a Stackhouse story I did. We've talked about that story a lot.
We have.
And I had some quotes left over. They did not make Pippen available yesterday, which was unfortunate, and they should have. And, you know, in a normal non-pandemic SEC tournament, it's open locker room, so right. Everyone's available. But you know, I don't think he would have said anything either way. I think that, I mean, look, Stackhouse brought up one key thing. He's like, I think their family's doing okay.
It's not like he's, you know, rushing to cash a check in the NBA.
Right. Like, there's no pressing need to go. And again, it's not like, I mean, he's not, no one's projecting him as a first round pick or anything like that. I actually talked to our guy, Sam Vicini, who is our draft analyst at The Athletic, who lives in Australia, which makes it a little bit challenging. The other day, I like reached out to him, and then like 8 hours later, he's like, "Hey, I'm just waking up. Let me get back." Like, oh, that's right, you live in Australia.
Yeah, sorry buddy.
Yeah, but anyway, basically, his take was, yeah, he's on the map now because he's so good this year. But his size, he's got to improve. He got to be better on defense. You know, I think he's got to improve everything. I think. Another year, another step, and he might be a first-round pick next year, even at that size. Because, man, if you can shoot and create in that league the way the game is played now and run a team the way he runs a team, you have a lot of value. I would suspect he's back, but you never know. I didn't think Saben Lee was leaving a year ago. Saben Lee's doing great in the NBA right yeah. now. So you just, and Stackhouse said that, too. You know, he's been surprised before.
We'll see what happens on the decision front with Scottie Pippen Jr. when it comes to Vanderbilt. Talk a little bit more about Florida here in just a few minutes. A 74-73 win for Mississippi State yesterday, taking down the once mighty Kentucky Wildcats. So we talked about Kentucky, maybe what chance they had to make a surprise run here in the SEC tournament. We've talked about the talent that they have, and they are now one and done. In the SEC tournament, Mississippi State with a big win against Kentucky, a very disappointing Kentucky team this year.
I mean, worst Kentucky team I've ever seen by
it's
far.
Bad, yeah.
I mean, I remember they were coming off probation in the late '80s, and they had, you know, the unforgettables, and they had a bad year or two. But this is just terrible. Actually, the game was off yesterday. I'm sitting next to Cal Tucker, of course, who covers Kentucky for The Athletic, and. Sitting there just like, what are they doing? Now, they made a run, you know, and they got in there, and I actually thought they were going to win. And actually, you had some noise in that building.
Yeah.
It got a little bit noisy. BBN, the folks who showed up, were trying to urge them on. There might have been three Mississippi State fans in there. But didn't get it done at the end, didn't execute. You know, I wouldn't say this is, you know, I'm sure they'll be back. It was just a bad sort of mix of players. They didn't have the point guard. It's funny because there's we're talking about Scottie Pippen Jr. in the NBA. The Kentucky message boards are ablaze with, all we got to do is get Scottie Pippen Jr. to transfer to Kentucky.
Yeah.
But, I mean, honestly, and Kyle said this yesterday in the press, like, if you put him with everything else, then they're a totally different team. They just don't have anyone to run the team. So, bad loss for them. Big win for Kermit last night. Not that it's any kind of value. To beat South Carolina doesn't really help them, but it gets them to LSU today.
Right.
You win that game, and Ole Miss is right there, I think. I think this is, to me, puts them – I mean, right now they're on the bad side of the bubble, but if Ole Miss wins today against LSU, that's a valuable win to show the committee.
So with that in mind, let's update our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Which college basketball blue blood are you happiest to see not make the NCAA tournament this year? Is it Duke, or is it Kentucky? 175 votes are in. 56% say Kentucky, 44% say Duke. So pretty close in the voting so far. Not overly surprising. I think there's lots of hate to go around between Duke and Kentucky in these parts.
Yeah. I bet you a lot of people would like to vote for both.
We
probably could have given them all of the above.
First reply to the poll is both.
There you go. But you got to pick one. You got to pick one.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, if there was an all of the above.
There's no poll question. There's no point in the both.
Yeah, see? That's why I don't – see? My polls would be terrible. That's why I'm just a critic, you know?
Just a critic here on the program.
You're the man in the arena making the polls.
Joe, very quickly, Tennessee taking on Florida today. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the show later with Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. What stood out to you about Florida yesterday, and what do you think this game could look like between Tennessee and the Gators coming up later this afternoon?
Well, Trey Mann didn't play Sunday. He had 22 yesterday, and whenever they needed something, including the last shot that he hit, a mid-range shot, they went to him. And he gets in the lane, incredible body control. It was good for the Vols to not have to see him. Now they have to see him. Now they have to see all of them because the first time around, they didn't have to deal with Castleton and somebody else and got blown out. So it's a good Florida team. Tennessee has to somehow play how it did in the second half, not with the emotion of senior day, not in their own building. And that's how they got it. I mean, they've got to figure that out to do anything this weekend, to do anything next week. So it's encouraging that they are coming off that kind of basketball. I do have my doubts about whether they can sustain it. But beating that team today would be a great sign.
Coming up next, we will switch gears and dive into the Tennessee Titans, continue to look at the offseason moves for the Titans, and where John Robinson goes from here. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.